Yep, okay. Today's daf Kuf Beis. We're on Kuf Aleph on the Beis. Three lines in the bottom, and the last word of the line is Tanan, right? Tanan Hasim. So, Mishnah over here, it's a Mishnah in Olos, it's also brought down in Gemara Nazar and Daf Samach Dalet. It's talking about reinterment, about taking a buried body, removing it, and placing it somewhere else. So, the basic halacha is that by a mace, it's Kones Mekomo. You bury a mace properly. You bury a mace properly. The mace is konas makomo, and therefore it becomes usur to move it from one grave cavern to another. Machlokas as to what the reason is. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin, gives a few reasons. One is you say maybe it's nivul a mace that you know that something you know it's going to be this happens to service to the body that can dismember or whatever. So that's why you can't do it. Another one is this idea of the charadas hadin. The kolbo brings down that any bilbul, any confusion for the mace is very, very distraughtful for it. And then it thinks it's having din, and now you're removing it and shaking it. So that's very distraughtful for the, it's called charadas hadin. They're very afraid of the yom hadin, and moving it makes it scarier for them. There's more modern sefer, the sefer Gesher Chaim, says... there's just a concept. Besides, even if there wouldn't be any bizayon, for whatever reason, it wouldn't shake, or nothing would happen to the body parts. Nevertheless, there's a concept of bizayon or mace. Just the actual fact that you're moving it from one place to another place is a bizayon to the mace. Ramosha Feinstein in Igros Moshe Yordei Rechelik Aleph Siman Reish Mabeis says that no, what it is, it's a bittul of the kiyum of mitzvah kvura. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to bury the mace, right? And the chi of kvura is that it should be that the mace should be buried all days until tchias hamesim. So by undoing the kvura, you're being mevatel the mitzvah saseya kvura hamesim. More halachic understanding. But and again, this also, I mean, when these situations come up, you know, they're major shilas. Again, like what happened in Gaza, if you were afraid that they're going to actually like destroy the cemetery. Like there were cases where there were people who were buried in Gaza and they were reburied in Har Hazayin. There was a person who was from Shalvim who was killed, moved to Gaza, was killed, and was reburied on Har Hazayin. You do that because you're afraid of what's going to happen to the Bizarre and Mason. They would be to leave there. There were also cases where you found.
Is it also Noia?
What?
Is it also Noia? I don't know about Gaza, but.
Well, it depends. It depends how he was buried. If he was buried in a permanent state. Then you don't move him. But sometimes if someone's in a mass grave, then you're not supposed to be buried in a mass grave. So sometimes you find some people move it. He's buried if you could tell or you know that they're supposed to be buried in only a temporary way. The Gemara gives some cases hints about how you know. Then you can remove it. But the idea also is that if the person is buried in the place without the das of the owner of the land, then it's temporary. Sometimes someone dies and you have to bury them quickly, so you just basically slip them in with the intention of bringing them somewhere else. Then you're allowed to. But if it's buried properly and appropriately, then there's a major shilas to move it. You have to figure out when it's mutter to reinter the body. Okay, so Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah in Olo says Hamotzi Mace. Okay, you find a mace Mushkov Kedarko. You find one body buried, and is buried in the right way. Mushkov Kedarko. Mushkov Kedarko, the Yerushalmi says in Nazir that what's is a Mushkov Kedarko, meaning you're lying down flat on his back, and the hands are clasped pretty much over the chest or over the heart. That's Mushkov Kedarko. But if you find him any other way, it's not Mushkov Kedarko. It's not Mushkov Kedarko. It's not considered completely buried for, you know, to be buried. But here, the thing is, it's that it's Mushkov Kedarko. We only found one mace. Is that working? I'm sorry. Can't upload it anyway. Can't get the connection for some reason. Yeah. So it's you find one dead body. You find one body. So it's Mushkov Kedarko. So note lobe es tusaso. So you're allowed to move the body because there's only one. You have to assume this isn't a kever. However, since it's Mushkov Kedarko, there's a din that you have to take with the body. The offer underneath it. Machlok is how much offer. We say gimel tvachim. You have to dig it up with the body. We say that when the body is disintegrating, some of it goes into the ground. So you have to take it with it. So since we don't know, since we never knew that this was a base kvaros, we could say that this isn't a place for kvura. And this kvura, this kevah here, was just by happenstance it was put here for whatever, for Shas HaTchach, but we know it's a Jew because it's buried Kedarko. If it's not buried Kedarko, right, then you can assume that it's not a Jew or whatever reason, then you can move it. You only need to take the offer. If it's buried Kedarko, Rosh Bam says that's why you have to take it's cone enough of the ground in order to take the ground with it. And also Shnayim notlam das tifusasa. Even if you find two bodies in this area, then you can take it and the ground. So we're showing to bring down what's the source, right? What's the source that you have to bring? Again, there's the machlokes with the shalosh and tzvos. The Rosh Hashanah says the shalosh tvachim. What's the source that he takes the ground with it? So they say it comes from, right, the Gemara Nazir brings it, that's from Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef before he dies, he says, V'shachati ima vosai, unisasani mi Mitzrayim v'kavarti b'kurosam. And it should take me from Mitzrayim. What does it mean, from Mitzrayim? You know where he is. He's in Mitzrayim right now. So they say you should take part of Mitzrayim with me when I go. So Rabbi Shai in the Moshe of the Kingdom of Al Torah, they ask, he wasn't buried in Mitzrayim. He never got buried in Mitzrayim. They took him right away. So he brings that over there from the name of Rabbi Chaim, that even though the Yaakov wasn't buried in Mitzrayim, because he says, I'll not take buried in Mitzrayim. What? But he wasn't buried. So how does it say that he took take me with Mitzrayim? He was never buried in Mitzrayim. There was no land. There was no ground. Don't say just in a smachto that had I been buried. basically, says like, if you need to bury me in Mitzrayim, l'fishah, then take me with some of the land of Mitzrayim. And that's the source that's brought down for why you take not one the s tfusasa, the gimel tvachim or the gimel etzbos underneath. Okay, but Matzah Shlosha, let's say you found three bodies. Now it comes into measurements of the potential curve. Remember, they're underneath. You found three bodies. Now we have to be choshish if they're laid out in a certain way. We have to be choshish. There's a burial crypt on the underground here. There's a real cemetery under here. So this, the Rashbam goes through the whole calculation. But basically, the Mishnah says, Im Yesh Beinehem, if the distance between the first mace and the third mace, inclusive of the other mason, is me arba la ad shmona, is between four and eight amos. Harezo shchunos kvaros. We have to say that this is a makom of a burial crypt. This is a ma'aras hakavura under here. And if they're buried kedarkam in a makom in a burial crypt, you can't move them. You can't reinter them, right? And you also have to be choshish now that there are other bodies somewhere along here, right? So therefore, bodek mimeno, you have to check from here, ula halon esrim amos. You have to check from the mason that you found, all 20 amos in all directions, basically. You can figure out, because if it's, we'll see in a second. But, motze echad, let's stop there. So, what happens basically is you have to assume that there's a burial crypt. So there's a burial crypt, you have to check 20 amos. Meaning, according to this, let's look at the Rashbam. Right, he says, "Much a shlosha mesim mushkavim kedarkon zeb tzad ze." He found three mesim lying kedarkon in a regular way, zeb tzad ze. Im yesh bein arishon shlishi karvel dal amos a karvel ches. If there's approximately four or approximately eight amos in between, it's approximation because Tosfos Rishon point out a lot of the math that Rashbam brings down is just incorrect. So, but they point out, he says it's an approximation, right? Harezo shkunus kvaros. This is a burial crypt. Right, below you tell them, you know, you tell them mikan the kolam mekamon. You can't take them out from here because they were kolam the mekamon. The sfirle lahaytana. The price of this mishnah holds that tocha shel ma'ara arba amos al ches. He says that the ma'ara itself is 4x8, right? Which is going to be shiloh. Who's this like? Because it does not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and it's not like the chachamim in our mishnah. But he says it's four by eight. Okay, v'sfirle nami shagimel mason igbarin bekotel rechava delo havi ela arba amos. And he says also that if they're buried on the short side, right, they would only take up four amos. How would that be? Kate said gimel amos l'shulch shakuchin. It would be three amos for each grave. Ubeis tvachim ben kuch l'kuch, and there'd be two tvachim between each grave. V'tefach l'zavis and a tefach on either side. Hareiz et bav tvachim. That totals bav tvachim. The sacha called dal amos. It'd be four amos. That's on the short side. And this holds ubekol tala aruch.
and a kotel aruch it's ches amos. It would be eight amos. Yikvor lefi cheshbon zeh vav mesim vav amos. It would be six mesim and six amos. Vishnei amos on osaris, right? Harehen and the two extra amos the right hand yud bestvachim. Same mehen yud tvachim le hey avirosh shebein sheish tekuchim. We take away 10 tvachim, right? The nisharu tvachayim le zavios. Therefore, when it goes through the whole calculation, hilchak shemotzon shloshim v'toktal amos. When you find three within four amos, the question now is it three amos on the short, three on the top, or three on the long, or three coming down the long side? The hilchak shemotzon shloshim v'toktal amos. It's a short side, opposite the entrance, right? Or it's on a long side. Has filled up all four plots there. The Kane also found gimel mufuzarim b'sochetz armina ba'orcham aronikvaru. Maybe if there was three mufuzarim among the eight, maybe they were also three buried on the long side, except they didn't fill in all the crypts. Amir ba'orcham aronikru el shadayin yeshkan gimel kuchim shemus alu off, right? The shemus alu offer kishenafel ma'aram. Maybe they were buried there, but they it fell in. Or dying low nikbar hen mace aval matzah ritzufin yosim yishur zeh angel shchunas kvaros. But if you find them packed in more than this year, then they say that's not a burial crypt. If they're packed in more, because then they're just stopped in basically for a temporary burial, and they don't have to worry. But only if they're in this, you know, spread out in this manner, right? Right. So it says.
Death grave does not have the same halacha.
What?
Death grave does not have the same halacha.
But then you it's not calling the kohen. You can remove them with the dirt if they're buried. If they're buried kedarkon, the point is that only if it's really buried as a cemetery for a permanent basis, then they're kohen l'kohen, you can't take it out, you can't reinter. But if they're buried in a way where it's clear that it was temporary, meaning they're all stuck together, not in the appropriate separation between the bodies, that's clearly a temporary. It was done there for a temporary purpose. They're not kohen l'kohen, therefore you can reinter them, it's provided that you take out whatever the offer with it.
Alright, okay, so he says here that's what happens, you have to check. So he says, you have to be bodek, the Mishnah says, therefore, bodek mimenu lahalan esrim amma. Now you have to check from those 20 amas. Because, Rishbam explains again, you have to assume that, right, what does he say? Ubod menu lahalan chab amma, hecha de matza gimel bedalid, if let's say you found gimel, three bodies in Dalet Amos. Amrinam Rokov Hamaruk Negat Pesachat. So we say, let's just say that this is the opposite of the entrance, which is the short side of the crypt. The Yesha Daim Arachharis Kenegda Chutz Luchatzev Chatzev and Shneim. So then you have, that's on the short side. So then you have the rest of this crypt, plus the Chatzev the Mishnah mentioned, plus the other crypt. Remember, the Mishnah said that there's a Chatzev in between, and there are two on either side. And some say there was four on either side, but there are at least two on either side. But first of all, we don't know which way it's going. So if there's three on this side, so you have to be concerned that there's more coming straight down this way, then the whole chatzer, then another crypt behind, on the other side of the chatzer. Machlokes Rishonim, whether you actually have to check each place, because no one's buried in that chatzer. Wherever the chatzer was for people to come in to do the hasvedim. So there's no one buried there. So maybe you only have to count the measurement, then skip what would be the chatzer, and then continue counting afterwards, because why would you have to bury, check what's in the chatzer? But on the other side, it could also be that it's the, right. Okay, so let's continue reading. V'yeshadayim ha'ara acharis kened ha'chutz l'chatzim v'chatzim en shleim. Hilkok bodok mimakom, you check mimakom, shakolim gupa meitzim l'sadam ara kaf amo. You have to check 20 amos. Ketzot, how? Ches amos orech ha'ara, right? Eight amos the length of the ma'ara. U'bodek b'ktolim mishleit sadim, check on both sides. V'yachakak bodok shesh amos l'chatzir, then six amos l'chatzir, right? Mipnei ha'ara sabduch l'slam mikam l'kan. And then you're not, then the other crypt. 8 plus 6 plus 8. Yeah. 22. So what's going on with 20 amos? That's what Gemara is going to ask. So, Bodek, right, so let's continue. Bodek yimenu lahalan esrim ama. But, matze echad, let's say you were digging, right? Sorry. Bodek lahalan esrim ama. Now you're checking. Matze echad besof esrim ama. Now you're checking all around, and 19.5 amas away is where you find another body. So now you have to assume from where you, the original bodies you found, till this other body, there's a cemetery straight. Now you have to again check from that body 20 amas. Right? Right? Bodek Mimenu lahalon esrim amos. Now you have to continue checking from this body another 20 amos. Sharaglaim adaber, because now it's a raglaim adaber. It's more assumed now that this is a burial crypt underneath here, because you're finding bodies laid out in a proper scenario. They're laid out as if they're in a cemetery. But she ilam itchilam also. But had you just found this one body originally, not lobes tifusaso, then you wouldn't check. You're only checking another further 20 amos because you found three. Now you checked, you found another one, and you continue checking. And if you found that, but I don't know what I'm saying, but if you found that one, the one to begin with, you wouldn't check around because you didn't find anything around it. It just happens to be you have to check for another further 20 amos because this is only after you found three. Okay, so I heard someone say that they bury with these separations. We had a shayla yesterday. We don't do it nowadays. We bury right next to each other. Some say because maybe that doesn't apply. It's not shayach was manazeh because we don't have enough land. We don't have enough. At least in Golos, you didn't have enough. You didn't have enough area. It was tough to get.
They're within the dirt. They're not.
Right. So they're not right next to each other. There's also there's a thick wall. Some usually in between them. So that from Ramban Torah to Adam says that might be a reason enough. Anyway. Well, Elena, but there are a lot of halachas about the famous shuva of the Chasam Sofer. I don't know if you mentioned the shuva of the Chasam Sofer, about how you bury a person. There's a whole thing about you have to bury the person with the feet facing out towards the cemetery. So when it comes to Yosef Mason, they just get up and walk. So Chasam Sofer says maybe that applies to Eretz Yisrael, but that doesn't apply to Chutz La'aretz. So Chutz La'aretz, everyone says goggle anyway to Eretz Yisrael. So Bashiyar Mitzvah Halacha says there are a lot of minhagim, when it comes to burials, and Rabbi Bruin says that. Even though they might not apply, but when it comes to burials, these menhagim that were taken, Klal Yisrael, so people, you keep those menhagim. There's a famous shuva of the Chasam Sofer. It talks about how you're supposed to be buried. He says maybe in Eretz Yisrael you're supposed to be buried this way. Then he's talking about where he lived, that there were two routes to get to Eretz Yisrael, right? He lived in Chasam Sofer lived in Pressburg. So to get to Eretz Yisrael at the time, you either went south to the sea and then went east, or you went east to Constantinople, Istanbul, and then you went south. So he said maybe you could be buried either way because that's the direction you would go to travel. He talks about Chiyus Mason, that Shuvah. I didn't understand what he was talking about there. Anyway, so Amamar, the Mishnah said that we just brought down that if you checked, it's May Arba Va'at Shmona. The distance between the first and the third would be from four Amos to eight Amos. But money, who is the Tana who holds in this Mishnah? Ira Banan, if it's a Chamim, Ha Amri, they say the size of the cave is arba amos al sheish. It would be four by six is the cave size, right? Rav Shimon ha'amar sheish al shmona. He says it was six by eight. Our mission that we just brought down said four by eight. Who holds that the size of this part of the crypt is four by eight? Our mission only brought down two shitas, either four by six or six by eight. So Gemara says no, it's really going to be Rav Shimon, but it's a different understanding of Rav Shimon based on another brisa. The older Rav Shimon, really the mission is the shita of Rav Shimon, but there's a machlokas tanayim. And Rav Shimon, what he held was the width of the cave is, right? Because he definitely held, right? Step 6 by 8. It's definitely by length is 8. Question whether it's the width is 4 or 6. Va'atanahu. Because this is the following brisa. The Tanya. We have a brisa that says, Mitza'an Ritzufin. You found the mason that you found are packed together. The Ein Bein Ehen is between the first one and the last one. Arba Amos Achmona. There isn't between the first and the eighth one, I think, four by eight. One second. Sorry? Between any three of them that's in there, the size of four by eight. They're packed together. There's no, you can't, between any three, there's no, maybe between 1 and 12 there is, but between any three of them there isn't the appropriate size. So, Yesh lehen tfusa ve'elin shunos kvaros. They have tfusa, meaning you can't just take them out, but they're not shunos kvaros. I mean, you can take them out, but you have to take them with the dirt. It's not considered a cemetery. But Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Rav Shimon says, Roin es ha'emtsarin kilu einon. You view the middle ones as if they're not there. The hashar mitstarfin. And then you can measure to see if you can get the 4x8 from the other ones. You take out a bunch, then you can see maybe, you can take a few out and then see if they have the appropriate distance between them, right? Basharmer Starfin may abra almost about Shimona. I mean, so long as that you can find three bodies buried within 4x8, then you can remove the middle bodies as if they're not there. And now you have the proper burial ground, and therefore, And therefore, they're kolam mekolam. What do you do about the other ones? So the other ones, you say, they were just stooped in because those are, I guess, derech harayah. Maybe those middle ones you can take out with the dirt. I don't know what you do with the middle ones. Whatever, you've now established a burial ground. But the Mishnah, bottom line is, the Mishnah says, this Braisa says that Rav Shimon, we're talking about 4x8. So this, see here, that Rav Shimon, according to this Tana, Rav Shimon holds that the size is not 6x8, it's 4x8. Okay. So now we've established that this Mishnah is Rav Shimon. Okay? Excuse me. So, B'mayo Kimta, what have you established now that the Mishnah is like Rav Shimon? But Ema Seifa, listen to the Seifa. The Seifa, and we mentioned this before, Bodek Hein Menu Halon Esrim Amma. Then you check, going forward, 20 Amas. So, Mani, who's this Mishnah, who is this Seifa like? Rav Shimon, Esrim V'tarkin Havei. If it's Rav Shimon, it should be 22. Right? Because, how does it work out? Because the length of the Ma'ara is 8 Amos. I don't understand why I'm saying this. We're never going back to the 8x6. We just said this Rav Shimon holds it, that it's 4x8. Sorry?
Yeah, no, this is assuming like the 8 and the 6 and the 8.
Right, but we just said now this Rav Shimon is with the 4. Right. So assuming it's like Rav Shimon with the other, right? So then it's 8, right? Then the length of the chatzar is 6. Another 8 for the next ma'ara, that's 22. But let's see if you do it the other way that we have. We just established that it was 4 by... We established that it's 4x6, so then it's 4. That's 20. So I don't understand. I don't understand the Gemara. We just established. Hear Menachem.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that now. I don't understand that. We just said that this Mishnah goes at the other Rav Shimon. I don't know. Okay. The Iravonon, and if it's like Ravonon, then Tamni Srav Havin. And you only need it would be 18. Because the Rabbanan say what? The Rabbanan say it's 4x6. So then it's 4.
Yeah, 6 plus 6 plus 6.
Sorry?
Rabbanan would be 6 plus 6 plus 6.
No, they would be 4. Right, 6 plus 6 plus 6, 18. Right, you have 6 times 3. Correct. Yeah? No, the Rabbanan hold that the length is 6. They hold that the length of the crypt is 6, then the length of the chatzar is 6, and the length of the next crypt behind it is 6. So you'd only be...
4
is the width.
Right, so why are we including the width by
Rav
Shimon? You're saying 8, 6, and 8. Why don't we say 8?
No, the 6 in the middle is for the chatzar, not the width.
So is the chatzar in the middle.
The chatzar in the middle is the 6. The length of the chatzar in the middle is what Rav Shimon is talking about. They all hold the 6 of the chatzar. And no one argues that the length of the chatzar is 6. So he says... Oh yeah, he does. Which Tosos? Doesn't say which Tosos. Wait, Abraham was. Alright, somewhere in this Tosos, okay. So Gemara says, "La'olam, not la'olam Rabbanan." He really, it's Rabbanan. We go into Bodak by Al Chasona. You check on a diagonal. And Rashbam has this whole calculation that a diagonal of a six amma length, he says the diagonal equals 8, which is not true. Tosfos points out it really equals 7.2. So they Rishonim say that the Rashbam rounds, but rounding in Rishonic rounding is not like our rounding where you go, you know, wait for 0.5 and then go up. Any time is more than the number, you round up to the next number. That's why it becomes 8.
21 becomes 30?
No, 21 becomes 22. Oh, you're talking about rounding in tens? Nothing like that. That's a different... And the 22, you don't need 21.5 to become 22. Even if it's 21.2, it becomes 22. Okay. So, Olam Rabban, he could on the Badak by Al-Khsona. So you're checking in diagonal, because you want to be very careful. So if you're checking in a diagonal, so then it becomes, I don't know, it becomes 8 in the diagonal, and then 6... And Rabbanan say it's 6 again? That's 20.
6 plus 8.
8 plus 6 plus 6 is 20. The Gemara says, wait a second, if you're checking a diagonal, it'll be the so why are you only checking the first crypt of the diagonal? Basically, it should be a diagonal, then worry about 6, and again a diagonal for the next crypt. So it should be 8 plus 6 plus 8, and be 22 again. So Gemara says, no, you only check on one diagonal. When we the Hobbit Achsona, Hainan Be Achsona. Right, your only question is, why are you checking on the diagonal? I'm saying, why checking on what is checking on a diagonal have to do? Because they say that maybe you're worried
that the bodies weren't buried in an even manner. Like one body was this, one body was, you know, off-centered. So you go in a diagonal, you can check. So the Chazon Ish says, so why have to check on the diagonal? Just check from the middle of our body. We found the body. Don't check from the head or from the foot. Check from the middle. It'll go down. You'll meet all the other bodies. We have to check on a diagonal. I don't know, just it's, you can't think in these terms with about these burial crypts. So you say it's right. So we mean
Habi Achsona, Hanan Bi Achsona.
So. Yes, yes, that's according to the Rashbam, it's split. Rashbam says Shimon Seifa's run. Rashbam says that. So we say, then it will be 22. So the Gemara says, we don't check the second Ma'ara with in a diagonal because we never found bodies in the second.
They're doing this, digging up a whole place.
Yeah, digging up everything. You're digging up everywhere. You want to make sure. I don't say what even the point of digging it up is, right? You want to say, oh, the Rashbam says because you were about the Taharas. But we said that they buried them in the way that there was a Tefach in between. So if there was a tefach in between, there was no problem of tumas oil.
So maybe since we never knew about this place, it was a rush job and it didn't have that thing. All of a sudden, you stumble upon it. What's going on here?
Well, right, so that's the basic process.
You're digging up for a construction, and you find a dead graveyard.
Right, and then you have Master Shabbos protests.
Right. So maybe that's why they didn't follow that thing because there was a rush or something.
Right, but the Gemara is talking. They're worried about. So if it's a crypt, then it depends. Then you can remove the body. If it's not a crypt, you can remove the bodies. Then you can't remove the bodies. Okay, but if it turns out that it's an actual burial ground and you dug them up, now you create a tomb all over the place. So, Rav Shisha Breid of Idi Amr, he answers differently. He says because he was worried about your question that it's how you have with the ratio of the Mishnah like Rabbanan and the Sefer like Rav Shimon. The ratio is Rav Shimon, the safe is Rabbanan. So Rav Shisha read Rav Idi Amar La Olam Rav Shimon. The whole Mishnah is Rav Shimon. How come you only need 20 in the Seifa? Benefili. Because the three mason that you found were stillborns. They were little. They were very small. So the Ma'ara of the Nephilim is only 6 amos length, not 8 amos length. And therefore, minus these two, you have 686, right? Because you have 6 for the one that we're checking here, 8 for the 6 for the courtyard, and then 8 for the other crypt, right? So that's 20. So we're saying, if you're talking about maybe the one that you found is Nephili, maybe the other one's Nephilim also. So we meet a Nephili, Hanami Nephili, and Tami Srehavi, then it'll be 666, or it'll be 18. So Gemara says, no, Chadim Nephili Amrini, Tarti Nephili Nor Amrini. They're not going to have two parts of the crypt are going to be for Nephili. If this one's for Nephilim, then the other one's not going to be for Nephilim, so you can go back to the other one being 8. So you have 668, and it's 20.
Why shouldn't the whole thing
be? You found the three bodies that you found were Nephilim. Well, why would you have to? They're assuming that this is set aside for Nephilim. This part was set aside for Nephilim. It was more commonplace that those days to have issues in childbirth. So they designated this crypt. That's what the assumption is. They designated this crypt for Nephilim. So the Nephilim one's going to be shorter because you found three of them. Three of them that you found were Nephilim.
Isn't this similar
to what
today?
That what?
Kids who die very, very young.
Have a separate area? I don't know
about that.
Could be.
In America, they don't.
I know in America, they don't.
I don't know. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask a stira from the part of what we learned before. Part of what we learned before was that if they were buried close together, and there was between any of the bodies that were buried, there wasn't the appropriate distance of, we said 4 by 8. So Rav Shimon says you view the middle ones as if they're not there, and then you can create a burial ground. And Rav Chama said, they're there. And it's not considered a burial ground; they're just stuffed in. It's temporary, and you can remove them with the other. The Rami, the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon, the Rabbi, Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon. There's going to be now a stira on the Rabbanon and on Rav Shimon, based on a different case of Klayim. The Tznan, the Mishnah and Klayim, Parakeh Mishnah Beis says, Kerem Hanatua apachos me arba amos. Right? If you have a Kerem, a vineyard, where the distance between the Gefanim is less than arba amos. Okay, in order to be a vineyard, great Klay Kerem, in order for it to be a vineyard, it has to be. I think it has to be right. 4 amos between. It has to be 4 amos between each row. So if you have less than 4 amos between each row, so Shimon Omer ain't no karam. It's not considered a karam because they're two packed together. It's not a karam.
So he's viewed the ones in between. He's viewing them as actually existing.
Here's the steel of Rav Shimon. The Chachamim Omrim Hariza Kerem. This is a Kerem. Why? Because the Roed Es Hamsan Kilu Einan. We view the middle Kramim, the middle vines, as if they're not there. Steer Rabbanon, who said that we don't do that with the bodies. I don't know why you're comparing Kerem to bodies. I don't know what, you know, what that has to do with the price of tea. Right? Ki'ilu Einam. So Kash the Rabbanon Rabbanon, Kash Rav Shimon Rav Shimon. So if you Kash the Rabbanon Rabbanon, Kash Rav Shimon Rav Shimon, as to whether or not you view the middle things as actually being there. So Gemara says, no. Dir Rav Shimon Rav Shimon no Kash. There's no Kash Rav Shimon. Because Hassan, when it comes to Kerem, Lo Nati Inchi Adaita Le'akir. People don't plant vines with the das of uprooting them. They want them to take root, right? So therefore, you want them to take root. You can't say that as if they're not there. They were put there purposely. They're to stay. But hacha, when it comes to kvura, zinin de misrami le ben hashmashos, so mikri manchile. Sometimes it happens that it's ben hashmashos, so Rashbam says it's ben hashmashos on Erev Shabbos. You have to do something. So you bury them right away quickly, and you stoop them in, and then later you'll take them out. Other Rishonim say it's any ben hashmashos, because you don't want to have halanas hames overnight. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Erev Shabbos. To any errors, banish mushrooms. You bury quickly in order not to have the mace left overnight. So there, it's clear that it could be that it was put in just for temporary purposes. And therefore, you can view them as if they're not there, and it doesn't create a cemetery. But by the krumim, you don't plant to uproot. You plant the plant that's supposed to be there. For rabbanan nami lo kasha, they say it's also not a kasha because hasan when it comes to kvura, kevan de minvol lo mikre kever. Since it's nivul hamace to be packed together like this. It packs us together like sardines. It's nivul hamace. So therefore, no one buries like that. Sorry, other way around. Since it's nivul hamace to remove a body, it's nivul hamace to remove a body. You have to go through all these ways in order to make it appropriate to remove a body. Since it's nivul hamace to remove the. Sorry? Yeah, but I think here you're saying that the nivul. No, I think the nivul mace is usually not. It's not. It's a nivul to bury somebody and then remove them. That's how I'm learning it. What? That's what the Rashbam says, but he says here differently. Okay. Right. That the Rashbam has a different girsa, because the Rashbam has a girsa of a daita litlo, but we don't have that girsa in our Gemara. Okay. Right. He says, hey, a daita litlo. And other svarim says navlo. A daita l'navlo.
So that's how I learned it. A daita l'navlo, meaning the das to be...
So as Rashbam says, a daita litlo, lach sorba lipnoso misham. Hilkoch l'gamri nikru l'sham, kuhn al yedei etchak b'akroi ba'alma. V'keven de'ein zem ekomon, lo chashvin alei shchunas kvaros. I think he's saying that. It says a nivol to remove them, therefore, it's not considered a kever. This is not the Shchunas Kvaros. But by Hassan, by the Kerem, Meimar Amar Heminai the Shapir Shapir, or the Lash Shapir Lahavi Litzvei. He says, listen, I'm throwing all the
seeds down. Whatever grows, grows. Whatever doesn't grow, doesn't grow. And I have the das to remove the ones that don't grow. So therefore, in that case, I can view the middle ones that aren't there. But in the Kerem case, I can't view them as not being there. Okay?
Harjan Allah Namocha Peres, Harjan Namocha Peres, Harjan Namocha Peres. Let's do the Mishnah. Let's do the Mishnah of the. Okay, so next parak is parak beis kor. So parak beis kor talks about selling of land. So a beis kor, I think, is 75,000. The introduction: 75,000 square amma. That's a beis kor. Hey, learn it out. Someone they learn it out from the Mishkan. That's what a beis kor is. So I think it works. I think it works with any size that you're selling. But the Mishnah talks about a beis kor. I mean, I'm gonna sell you land the size of a beis kor. Which is enough to yield 30 sa of whatever. But the size is 75,000 square amas, I think. Is it 75,000? Square amas. Okay, I'm right. Okay, so ha'omer l'chavero. Someone says to his friend at the sale, base core, right? This base core, which is like for 30 sa, base core offer ani morchaloha. I'm selling you a base core that's ready to grow the base core. I wanted to go 30 am. And it has in that field these nikayim. I think these are hills. Or no, these are the these are, sorry? Clefts? Those are ditches. They're ditches. Not a cleft. It's the ditches. Right? Nikayim, they're gumos. That's what they are. They're ditches. Nikayim amukim asar tvachim. They're 10 tvachim deep. Right? Or there were slayim gavoyim asar tvachim. Or they're these stones, these rocks, they're 10 tvachim high. Question machlok is whether we have to worry about how wide they are. Rashbam says, yeah, at least 4 amos wide. So therefore they become a rishus b'fnei atzman. They become their own rishus. Einon nimodadin ima. They are not considered part of the calculation. Therefore what? Therefore you have to provide, the seller has to provide him area outside of besides these ditches or hills in order to compensate for the missing land. To get it to the... Right, it's a reduction. Those don't. Right, so therefore you have to provide more land for them to make compensate.
If you sell a wheat, you'll have 10%. So let's say you sell the wheat, you'll have.
Yeah, but here you sell. I guess it's not here because you say base core upper. I'm selling you. You say clearly, I'm selling you.
Base core.
With machlokus whether upper is. So that was, again, that was all based, and then Rishonim also said that was based on the minhag of the makom. The minhag of the makom here is that you say sell the base core. It has to be capable of. I mean, who says it grows? Maybe it doesn't grow, but if you have these gumos or these stones, then you're not selling a base core. Okay, the machlokas we show them is though, the Mishnah Berurah, I don't know where it is, but the Mishnah Berurah talks about halacha lemaisa that you're not allowed to daven near makom tzoa. So what if the makom tzoa is 10 tvachim, if the tzoa is 10 tvachim, or it's on a sela that's 10 tvachim high? So maybe it's a rishus b'fnei atzma, Mr. Baruch says, and therefore you can be able to daven there. It's better not, but you may be able to daven there. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. But pachas mikan, if the ditches or the stones are less than 10 tvachim nimadanima, then it's considered part of the field because, like you said, there's no field that's completely smooth. If they're 10 tvachim, that's beyond the pale. But if they're less than 10 tvachim, that's a typical field. So what if they're 10 tvachim? So what happens, let's say there are 85, stones that are 10 tvachim high. And you sell the base core, who owns them? So it's Machlokes Rishonim. It's Machlokes, in Eretz Yisrael, when they bury for Nephilim, for stillborns, or for children, they have separate, but in the Chutz Laretz, really? Okay.
There are always exceptions to the rule where the parent wants to have the nephew buried next in a family.
In the family plot.
Plot. You can do that, but otherwise there's every family which has a section.
Okay, there we go. Should have had him here the whole time. Sorry?
Don't answer the last one.
What was that?
They do it for 5 minutes though.
Oh, okay. He should have been here the whole day. It would have been easier. Okay. So, right, so what happens to these gumos and these rocks? So the some Rishonim say that basically what happens is they're not sold; they stay with the owner. Some say no, they are sold; they go to the purchaser, but the purchaser also gets more land to compensate for the fact that he can't grow anything on these.
For more than 10 tvachim.
And then the other Rishonim say, yeah, he gets it, but he has to pay for them, not part of the price. He has to pay for them, but it's obviously a cheaper price because he can't grow anything on them. Right, it's three-way machlokas we're showing him. Okay, but to finish the Mishnah, im amar lo, if he says kiv base kor afar, like a base kor afar, then afilu hayisham nekayim amukim yosim esar tvachim oslam gavonim yosim esar tvachim hare elu nimar nima. If he says it like a base kor, then they're calculated along with it, and he doesn't get the extra land because he said it's basically said approximately a base kor. So you have a few rocks that are 10 tvachim high that was included in the sale. Okay. To have ground that if all produce was made, you could be able to yield 30 sa, which is a base. What does he have? An introduction there. Right. So I'm saying that the typical, you know for sure that if you have a stone that's 10 tefachim high, it's not going to do it. So it has to be capable of yielding a base core. This is incapable of yielding a base core because it can't grow on them. But we're not worried about great. We're worried about what the ground is capable of doing. I'm telling you a base core. The ground is capable of yielding a bumper crop. I don't think you keep that into account.
And farmer,
I don't know.
Rain,
no, but you have to look at what the contract is. You have to look at what the contract says. The contract says I'm selling you a base core. right? Base core upper. That's a ground that can yield 30 saw. This can't yield 30 saw because it has the it has places in here that it can't grow. It can't yield it. Okay. Have a good day.